We're pleased to be here in Greater Nebraska. My name is Frankie Moore, and I am from North Platte. To my left is Judge Rhett Inbody from Wahoo, and to my right, Judge Rico Bishop from Wichita. We appreciate the City of Kearney's hospitality and allowing us to use this facility for our argument. We only have two this afternoon. One of the cases we had scheduled for argument was dismissed by the parties last week. So we'll start off with our first case today, which is State ex rel Jacobson versus Jacobs. Counsel, you may approach.
My name is Mary Rose Richter, and I'm an attorney with Ross Schroeder & Schwartz. I'm here today on behalf of the appellant, Jesse Jacobs. We're here today to discuss a decision by the District Court of Buffalo County, which abused its discretion in failing to find that there was a material change in circumstances which would constitute a change of custody. There's two issues that I'll be addressing today. One is whether there was a material change in circumstances which would warrant a modification of custody, and two, whether the parenting time order by the court was in the child's best interest.
Don't you also have to show a material change in circumstances to modify the parenting time?
That's correct. So the first thing I'll talk about is that material change in circumstances.
Do you think that that is the same or similar for both custody and parenting time?
Yes, that's correct. So in order to change the material change in circumstances, certain requirements that the court has issued in the past, such as a parent who is unfit or if it is in the best interest of the child, can show a material change in circumstances. And that material change would occur from something that was not present, that had the district court known about it, and make a decree differently at that time. In this situation, we're looking at two parents who were found to be fit. On the record and testimony, both parents agreed that the other parent was a fit parent. So the focus is on whether there was changes that would certify that material change in circumstances. Originally, there was a stipulation entered by the parties back in 2009. At that time, Mr. Jacobs was living in Omaha, and Ms. Jacobson was living in Kearney. So at the time that was entered, the parties were living approximately 3 hours apart, and what made sense was that mom would have custody of the child, and Mr. Jacobs would have parenting time every other weekend with the child. In 2010, things changed. Mr. Jacobs realized that moving back to Kearney would be best to have a better relationship with his son. And so in order to do that, he moved back to Kearney. There was a lot of things that occurred in 2010. That's when the party agreed to change some of the parenting time that they originally agreed to. During that time, even in opposing counsel brief, Ms. Jacobson states that it was important and recognized the importance of that father-son relationship, and so extended the amount of parenting time. So Mr. Jacobs began receiving extended hours during the weekend, started receiving parenting time both on Sundays as well as Wednesdays, and then was also having parenting time in the Cub Scout capacity. His son was involved in Cub Scout and he joined as a leader to have time with his son.
Were any of the weekday visitations with her parenting time, were they overnight or just a number of hours?
They were in the evening. During that time, Mr. Jacobs was having at least seen his son approximately 15 days per month. And about half the time throughout the month, he was seeing his son during the first day, having time with him. And the child was used to having that time as well. So that occurred over a period of 5 years. That was occurring in 5 years' time, and crucial ages of the child was attached to developing that relationship with his father, which leads to the other aspect of that material change. That I would argue in Nebraska 43-29-23, which talks about looking at the relationship that the child has developed with the parent prior to the legal proceeding. And prior to the legal proceeding, having that parenting time throughout the over a period of 5 years has established that relationship.
So in 2015, then, the changes that occurred were Dad was no longer having every Sunday, just the Sundays that were his alternating weekends, and then he wasn't having Tuesday night or evening or Wednesday evening. And then there was a dispute about the summer parenting time as well.
That's correct.
So up until this time, though, the parties really were able to work well together. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and beforehand, the parties were working together to get that parenting time.
So do you agree that the modification case law talks about first establishing a material change in circumstances and then showing that it would be in the best interest of the child to modify?
That's correct.
And so let's assume we buy in with the material change in circumstances. What's the best evidence you have that supports the finding it would be in the child's best interest to do a joint physical custody arrangement?
So I think important evidence that came out during the trial on the court's record is testimony from Dr. Meininger, a well-known, reputable child psychologist who did a custody evaluation, which was actually requested by Ms. Jacobson at the beginning of the proceeding. And during that testimony, he testified that the father and son had developed a good relationship between them, talked about the benefits to doing a joint custody arrangement. Also talked about the fact that the minor child was coming to an age when it was important as a boy to have his father in as well.
Didn't Dr. Meininger ultimately recommend, though not a joint physical custody, but having a couple of additional overnights each week?
Ultimately, in his report, he had stated that his bias was to do a week on, week off.
But that hadn't been requested.
Right. But because Mr. Jacobs had requested overnight throughout the week instead, that's the route that the child documented in their will.
And apparently all of are consistent with what the child indicated.
Right. And the child was interviewed by Dr. Meininger as part of the custody evaluation. The trial court chose not to intervene him at the time of trial and chose to draw that information. And because of that information, then the child was, I'd like to have more time with my dad. I think it'd be nice to spend this. So that's what it was going wrong about. And then
that really supports the argument about increased parenting time, but I don't see it supporting the change of custody.
Well, and at the time, Dr. Meininger was going off of what Mr. Davis was requesting. But having had time to review the custody evaluation and the report and realize what would be in the child's best interest, Mr. Davis then requested at trial that he would be back and do that. So looking at the best interest, as far as whether or not that's in the best interest of the child, in past case law, the best interest revolves around having the greatest extent possible parenting time with both parents. As far as looking at best interest and relationships of parents, looking at the Parenting Act, established back in 2007, which states that both relationships of the parent should be considered equally. In looking at parenting time and custody and those sorts of things.
Isn't there some evidence that the father goes has to be at work at 7 in the morning?
Yes, he does have to be there early in the morning. He is married at the time, and his wife has flexibility. He has flexibility to be able to get the child where to and from.
Through his wife.
Right.
Because he wouldn't be able to get him to school in the morning, right?
Right. And both parents and the candidates and others work. That was part of the hotel.
Jessie's wife, although she's working, would still be able to get the child to school before she went to abortion.
That's for five of us now. So looking at the totality of the evidence, looking at the different changes that occurred, the move from Omaha to Kearney, the established relationship over the previous 2 years, or 5 years between father and the son, that would constitute that material change. And at this time, I'd like to reserve the remaining time for rebuttal.
Do you
approach? Good afternoon. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Aaron Bishop. I run my own law firm, Bishop Law. I'm here today representing the appellee.
Good name.
Thank you. Picked it out myself. I guess I don't know what questions you all might have for me, but there's one thing that I wanted to make sure that I addressed when I had this opportunity. And I guess I should thank you for this opportunity. It was a nice one block walk over for me from my office as opposed to what you guys probably went through today. But I wanted to make sure that I addressed this one point that I noticed in reviewing my own brief that I didn't ever actually come out and say, which is that the relief that the appellant is requesting for from you today is contrary to not only the laws of the state of Nebraska, but it's contrary to public policy. If you look at the history of this case, the mother in this case has gone out of her way to try to encourage a relationship between the minor child and the father. What seems to get brushed over repeatedly because they keep pointing to his move back to Carney is the fact that he moved away from Carney after the child was born. He made the choice to remove himself from the jurisdiction where the child resided during the time where they actually argue is the most important performing that relationship. Well,
but he lived in Omaha at the time that they negotiated their parenting plan, the formal one.
Absolutely, which is why it didn't encourage or include a weekday parenting time. They made an agreement that would actually expand his visitation time once the child got into school. They worked on those things, but that had its genesis from what the mother was doing voluntarily prior to there being a parenting plan. She voluntarily sought out parenting time with him. They were able to negotiate a parenting plan. He moved back to the Kearney area in 2010, and then as my brief states, he took a job out of town. It required a significant amount of travel, and that's...
But what happened, and I give credit to mom here and to dad, they were really able to work together, and this additional parenting time beyond what was written over a period of about 5 years. How is that not a change?
Well, the point is that it developed over that five-year period. When he was working out of town, they included Sunday evenings during her parenting time. So because Sundays, as the testimony came out in trial, were important to dad, so she gave up that voluntarily. Now, I admit that they had to work together, but these are sacrifices that mom was making from her parenting time. Once she took a job in 2012 that was within Kearney, then we included Wednesday nights, where she was around in the evening. And then when the child got old enough to be in the Cub Scouts, we included being involved in Cub Scouts and having dad participate in that. Those things developed over time. They're not a change in circumstance. That's the public policy that I was referring to, where we want parents to work together. We encourage parents to work together. We encourage parents to do it outside of the courtroom and to essentially punish mom for developing that relationship and allowing dad to use that as a material change in circumstance to modify the parenting plan.
Well, but what happened here, if those things had continued, we likely wouldn't be here. But what happened is when those additional parenting times got pulled away, and that precipitated us being here.
Well, I would agree with that in part. I think that some of those parenting times got taken away. The Tuesday evenings were removed once the minor child made the decision that he didn't want to participate in Cub Scouts anymore. The exhibit was not received, but essentially mom had a piece of paper where she sat down and she talked with her son. And he had listed out the activities that he wanted to meet. There was testimony. The document itself was not received because the minor child was the one that wrote it up. But mom testified about that discussion with the minor child.
So Wednesday nights were
removed. Wednesday nights were not removed, at least initially. Wednesday nights eventually were removed, and again in response to the father's actions. I think I would point to, again in my brief, a quotation from Dr. Meilinger's evaluation that counsel stated was one of their best evidence for the best interest of the child. And he said, in reviewing many, many pages of emails, I had the impression that mother worked very hard in the early part of Brett's life to make sure that the father had a relationship with Brett by willingly changing her schedule to let him go with his father.
I don't think there's any dispute to any of that.
Right.
But my question to you, and I feel like you're getting to the heart of it, is if mom had agreed that those additional parenting times and that flexibility that she provided were in the child's best interest, why is that no longer in that child's best interest?
Dr. Meilinger concludes by saying he can repay her kindness by remembering to take into account her goals for Brett and making decisions about him. The complaint that my client filed for the modification was to modify visitation time, specifically the summer visitation time. The reason that she filed for that was there was not a specified summer visitation time. When the summers rolled around, Mom had made arrangements for her to participate in a school-sponsored daycare program, which is called the Kearney Community Learning Center. And Father refused to comply with that, to the extent that he was ordered twice during the pendency of this action by the district court to take the minor child to that daycare program, and he refused to do it. So my response to your question would be that those kind of agreements, those kind of cooperation are two-sided. Mom was making an accommodation for Dad. Mom was trying to encourage and foster that relationship, expecting that those kind of kindnesses and cooperation would be repaid by Dad by respecting the decisions that she made as the legal and physical custodial parent, which she continually refused to do. So, again, getting back to the public policy argument, when we want Mom to give Dad voluntarily more parenting time, when we encourage her to do that, we should also expect or encourage Dad to repay those kinds of cooperation, that kind of kindness, by reciprocating and complying with things that Mom might request from him. I don't think it's a material change in circumstance for Mom to say, if you're not going to try to work with me on the things that I think are important for the person, as the person who's the legal and custodial parent of this child, then there's going to be consequences. There's going to be pullback. I would also point to the reason that the psychological custody evaluation was originally requested. That had to do with the behaviors and the actions that we were seeing in Father's home and at school after Dad moved in with his significant other, who is now his wife, who had a minor child. There started to be behaviors that were not only experienced by his own admission at home in Dad's house, but also at the school. The reason for the psychological custody evaluation was actually to look at the relationship between those two minor children and how Dad was handling those things in his own home. That was our request. That was why it wasn't actually to look at a custody change, because Mom wasn't asking for a custody change.
But you requested a custody evaluation.
It's called a psychological custody evaluation. That's the service that Dr. Meilinger uses, and that's the office that that I usually work with is Dr. Meilinger. It's now no longer an option anymore, but that's who we chose to use, and that's what he calls it. So that's the service that I asked for.
Let me try to ask the same question in a different way. Why would it not be in the child's best interest for Dad to have more parenting time than what is in the 2009
In this case specifically, I think there was evidence that was presented about, I think the cooperation is important. I think there was evidence from Dad's home that there was a significant concern that was potentially there regarding drinking. By his own admission, it became a problem. He sought treatment for it, and it became particularly acute when he was at his home. The testimony from both parties was that typically when Dad went home to see his family in Mullen, Nebraska, he would be allowed to take the minor child. So by his own admission, his drinking was the biggest problem when he was solely responsible for the care and custody of his child. There was other issues that were brought up by his testimony at trial. He didn't know his son's teacher's name. He didn't know who his dentist was. There was evidence that was presented that he wasn't working with him on his homework, on his schoolwork, voluntarily. His spelling words, his reading, his math homework was not getting done at that time. So I don't think the court even got there. I don't think the court even addressed best interest, because it found that there had been no material change. But that doesn't preclude the fact that the court might have said there has been a material change, but we do find that it's not in the child's best interest. We didn't get there because the court chose to find that there had been no material change in circumstances.
Let's assume that we would agree with the appellant that there's been a material change in circumstances. Why would it not be in the child's best interest to have a bit more parenting time? As according to Dr. Meilinger, the child said, I would like more time with my mom. Why would it not be in the best interest?
I think that in order for the parenting plan to change, from either direction, Mom or Dad would have had to show a material change in circumstances.
Let's assume that's been that.
And Mom presented a parenting plan that suggested additional time for Dad. That was chosen not to be adopted by the court because it found that there was no material change. Mom isn't opposed to additional time for Dad. That wasn't Mom's decision. That was the court's decision. Mom's proposal at the time of the final hearing was for additional time for Dad. She actually asked that some of the time be taken during the summer when Dad testified that he was the busiest and be spread out over the year through other visitation arrangements. Mom has been, is, and always was willing to give that additional time. The fact that we've had to go through litigation now, there's been attorney expenses, there's been all this heartache, and some testimony that frankly probably didn't promote a harmonious relationship, at least at this time, is done by both parties. But Mom is not specifically saying Dad shouldn't have more parenting time. Mom isn't saying that it wasn't in the child's best interest. That was the court. I have 10 seconds left, so I'm going to use my last 10 seconds to say that I appreciate your time today and thanks for listening to my.
Yeah, remember the question. Thank you.
Thank you.
How much time does it
have?
1 minute, 34 seconds. 34 seconds. 34 seconds.
First thing I'd like to point out is that in the court order, the court found both parents to be involved. Quote, both parents are described as actively involved in the child's education, both are consenting to consultation, and both are appropriately involved in the child's education. Court's findings in the order describe a situation where it's in the best interest of the parents both being involved in the child's life and show that both parents were involved in the child's life for an extended period of time.
Excuse me, counsel. As I understand it, Stacy made a presentation of expanding the parenting time in your client to the court. The court did not know because it found out the attorney's position was different. But what is your position in your position as additional visitation of the court here?
That the court abuses discretion in not awarding more parenting.
So are you okay with what the opponent has recommended to the court?
Ideally, I would argue that there's been a material change that would constitute joint parenting
situation. Let's say that you can't get there, but there is a material change that you're at least prepared.
And I would argue that the court, in failing to even award any weakness in time at all, abuse of discretion in that regard.
So what would you suggest?
Ideally, the other alternative would have been to do more parenting time. That would include an extended weekend as far as parenting time, doing some parenting time on the overnight attached to the attached.
So, which is what she's suggesting, is that there would be an overnight on Sunday night.
And potentially Monday night. I mean, we're looking for Monday.
Oh, you're saying...
But potentially adding that to it, adding that to it for extended time.
And then what about the Wednesday?
If ideally that would be something that, you know, as ordered in the Parenting Act, when you look at a standard schedule, you know, a week that parenting has been in there.
But not overnight. As I understood her proposal, she was saying it would be the overnight.
No, and that's, and yes, Mr. Jason would be blocking more overnight.
So would she put a little Wednesday night as opposed to Monday?
Initially, that was but I think there was a change prior to the trial that was thinking that
Monday. So he'd rather go Monday night now rather than Wednesday. Yeah. Thank you.
And it looks like I am on time.
Thank you both. You are excused. The case is submitted. We'll move on to our next one. Thank you.